impulses toward actions which seem according to nature, but such impulses are confused and disordered. The good, however, is never confused or disordered. What, you say, do dumb animals move in disturbed and ill-ordered fashion? I should say that they moved in disturbed and ill-ordered fashion, if their nature admitted of order. As it is, they move in accordance with their nature, for that is said to be disturbed, which can also, at some other time, be not disturbed. So, too, that is said to be in a state of trouble, which can be in a state of peace. No man is vicious, except one who has the capacity of virtue. In the case of dumb animals, their motion is such as results from their nature. But, not to weary you, a certain sort of good will be found in a dumb animal, and a certain sort of virtue, and a certain sort of perfection. But neither the good, nor virtue, nor perfection in the absolute sense. For this is the privilege of reasoning beings alone, who are permitted to know the cause, the degree, and the means. Therefore, good can exist only in that which possesses reason. Do you ask now whither our argument is tending, and of what benefit it will be to your mind? I will tell you. It exercises and sharpens the mind, and ensures, by occupying it honorably, that it will accomplish some sort of good. And even that is beneficial, which holds men back when they are hurrying into wickedness. However, I will say this also. I can be of no greater benefit to you than by revealing the good that is rightly yours, by taking you out of the class of dumb animals, and by placing you on a level with God. Why, pray, do you foster and practice your bodily strength? Nature has granted strength in greater degree to cattle and wild beasts. Why cultivate your beauty? After all your efforts, dumb animals surpass you in comeliness. Why dress your hair with such unending attention? Though you let it down in Parthian fashion, or tie it up in the German style, or, as the Scythians do, let it flow wild, yet you will see a mane of greater thickness tossing upon any horse you choose, and a mane of greater beauty bristling upon the neck of any lion. And, even after training yourself for speed, you will be no match for the hare. Are you not willing to abandon all these details, wherein you must acknowledge defeat, striving as you are for something that is not your own, and come back to the good that is really yours? And what is this good? It is a clear and flawless mind, which rivals that of God, raised far above mortal concerns, and counting nothing of its own to be outside itself. You are a reasoning animal. What good, then, lies within you? Perfect reason. Are you willing to develop this to its farthest limits? to its greatest degree of increase. Only consider yourself happy when all your joys are born of reason, and when, having marked all the objects which men clutch at, or pray for, or watch over, you find nothing which you will desire. Mind, I do not say prefer. Here is a short rule by which to measure yourself, and by the test of which you may feel that you have reached perfection. You will come to your own when you shall understand that those whom the world calls fortunate are really the most unfortunate of all. Farewell.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings the Tao of Seneca to an end, for now. My hope is that it serves you well for many years. I revisit these letters often and hope you do as well. If you'd like to explore more practical Stoicism, including figures like Marcus Aurelius, Cato, and even Montaigne, please visit 4hourworkweek.com/Stoic, all spelled out, FourHourWorkweek.com/Stoic, and you will find an ever-growing collection of articles and resources. Thank you for listening.
This concludes the reading of The Tao of Seneca, Practical Letters from a Stoic Master, Volume 3, performed by John A. Robinson. Presented by Tim Ferriss Audio. Performance copyright 2015, Seneca and Marcus LLC, all rights reserved. Based on The Moral Letters to Lucilius by Seneca, translated by Richard Mott-Gumer, Loeb Classical Library Edition, Volume 1, first published 1917, Volume 2, first published in 1920, Volume 3, first published 1925. For more writing on Stoicism and practical philosophy, please visit 4hourblog.com. That's FourHourBlog.com, where you can join more than 2 million readers per month. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.